What's up, everybody? This is your girl, author Monique Duell, and welcome to a brand new episode of Having a Moment with Moni radio show, streaming every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the HOD Radio Network from Benin, Nigeria. Hey, family, hey. For those who are new here, welcome to the Ham Family. That's what I call it. Ham Family, having a moment with Moni. Welcome to the Ham Family. I love and appreciate you guys for liking and sharing and downloading and all your love and support and prayers. I really appreciate that. Thank you so very much. Quick announcements. This weekend, I am hitting the road for the first time alone, y'all. I am headed to Philadelphia to receive the 2023 Shiro Award from Black Girls Rock, Black Girls with a Z, not the national platform that you see on TV for the celebrities. I am grateful and honored to be receiving such a beautiful award and being amongst all of the other beautiful women of God who are being honored in their respective places. I cannot wait to meet them, and I want to celebrate and shout out the visionary for Black Girls Rock, who is Misha Callwood. I cannot wait to meet her and just love on her and get to know her a little better along with the other sisters and network, y'all. I'm always excited to go new places and meet new people. I've been to Philly before, but I mean, in this setting. And so y'all pray my strength in the Lord as I travel down the road. I am not that far from Philly, but I'm not that close either. So y'all keep me in prayer because Jeremiah will be here. And it hasn't been too many times where I have traveled without my son or had my son with me and stuff like that. So all of this is new for me. So I'm doing new things this year, y'all, in 2023. Doing the new in 2023. Doing the new in the 2023. Doing the new. Okay. Now that I got that out of the way, thank y'all for your love and support. For all of those who bought books, for those of you who are new here, Grief is a Gangster is out, and my brand new book, y'all, Caregiver CPR, where I am talking about preventing caregiver burnout. It is in ebook format for $5. Get Mama Nim, Pookie Nim, everybody you know who's in a caregiver space, role, whatever you want to call it, this book. It'll bless your life. It is in ebook format. I said that, yeah, mom brain. And it is on Barnes & Noble. It is on Apple Books. The paperback book has just dropped, and I just have to approve it. So that will be out, and that will also be, wherever books are going to be sold. And so God gave me the cover design for it. He gave me the words to write and all those kinds of things. And so I, poured my heart out yet again, because that's what I love to do. Transparency brings deliverance. Amen. Y'all say that to yourselves. Transparency brings deliverance. And so I'm talking about my caregiver burnout journey. And go buy the book, y'all. I that's all I'm going to say about that. If you're listening and you've ever gone through caregiver burnout, you already know. As we say, if you know, you know. So I am grateful to be able to testify that I have made it out of that. And God has allowed me to still be in my right mind in spite of all of those things that transpired during that time frame. So thank you for those who have bought the other books. Jeremiah the Jackrabbit is my children's book. I have the only book on the market about a disabled jackrabbit who does something that nobody expects. So y'all go cop that. That is on Amazon. Grief is a Gangster is also on Amazon. And Handicapped Mom, Lessons I Learned Through Cerebral Palsy is on Amazon. The two co-author books that I've done, 50 Shades of Pink, A Healing Journey to Self-Love, is also on Amazon. And The Power of God, Devotional 2 for Women, is also up there. So you got a variety. There is literally something for everyone. I have a genre for everyone. And listen, stay tuned, you guys, because I just completed two online courses that I am going to be presenting for an investment, of course. And those are Caregiver CPR, which is, named after where the book came after the presentation, because the presentation came first, praise God, that I did for the Faith Mental Health Summit on last year, or 2021, I believe. I can't remember which one it was, you guys. It's out there. Check it out. And Publishing 101, where I tell you the basics on how you can get started birthing that book that God has given you. Yes, you, all the way in the back of the corner in the booth. Yes, yes, yes. Publishing 101. I cover the basics that'll get you jump started. No more excuses in 2023, y'all, because I got it for you. So look out for that. And caregiver CPR, the fee, you know, the investment is nominal. I am not, listen, y'all, let me say this. I have, seen flyers with e-courses and things like that, that are hundreds of dollars. They're not $35 and $50 and all that anymore. They're $75, $100+. So, support those that you know have the word of God in them, that have the wealth of God in them, that can speak into your life and things like that. Because a lot of these people who are putting out stuff, they're just putting out stuff, and you'll catch that later. They're not bringing deliverance and healing and transparency and all of those kinds of things to help you get where you need to be. They're just trying to build up their kingdom. I'm going to move on. So support, y'all. Thank you for, like I said, those who listen to the radio show, who have liked and shared and subscribed. I appreciate you guys. The numbers are going up. Let's make this thing a global movement, because every week I come to you guys and give you what thus saith the Lord. Well, I'll give you an example of what's going on in my own world, in my own space, with my son who has cerebral palsy named Jeremiah. And I also am caring for my brother with autism. His name is Moses. How fitting, Moses. And so y'all pray for me. Yes, my plate is full. And in the midst of that, God is doing some amazing and awesome things. I give God the glory. Y'all, Sunday was bananas. It was phenomenal to be able to speak as well as co-host with the beautiful Stella Olivia Cocoyo from Stellar Woman Magazine for her International Women's Day 2023, with over 40 women from all across the globe, from several different countries, continents, nations, and tongue. It was beautiful. All of us had something different to present, and we stood in our perspective places and power and authority and loved on one another and encouraged one another and impacted and empowered one another. And so thank you, Stella, for allowing me to be in that space. I really appreciate you. It was great. It was great. It was time well spent and well needed. So y'all, this week has been, yeah, sort of kind of a whirlwind, because I have been wrestling and toiling with, you know, this whole future planning for Jeremiah and things like that. It made me realize that, I mean, I won't say realize because I already knew that. It made me really hone in on the fact that one day I'm not going to be here to even make these decisions. And I, like I said to you guys before, I don't get to pick and choose who go before who. We're going to be dead a lot longer than we're going to be alive. So I have to make it count. And so I have been toiling with the decision for residential placement versus self-directed, only because there are certain variables that I can't see. There's certain components that I can't see that are not in place. And so it is those things that are making me very apprehensive, despite the fact that the best thing for me to do for Jeremiah is residential placement. Now, whatever happens after that, only God knows, and I have to trust him. Okay, I have to trust him and then trust myself that I am doing the right thing and making the right decision. This is the hardest decision to date that I've ever had to make, and I have been wrestling with it. Part of me wants to manage his whole life because I have my hands on him. I can see him. I know what's going on. But then on the flip side, I want him to be in a place where they will do everything for him. So then I won't have to go try to find people to help me and sometimes beg and plead with people to help me do things that he needs to be, you know, that he needs done in his life. And so it's hurtful, y'all. It hurts because I'm human. You know, I can't do it all anymore. And I realize that I am not in. Listen, I'm only one woman, one female, one individual. And yes, God is merciful and kind and powerful and omnipotent, omnipresent and omniscient. But I am not. And I had to realize that. So I have been toiling and wrestling, not sleeping all that well, crying at times, and just being honest with where I am with it, and where I was to a degree before now. And it doesn't hurt any less just because you're at peace, because you already know what happens next. I don't know about y'all, but this is how my brain works. When I go through certain stages in life, it triggers other things that I know is supposed to happen down the line. So I'm all the way past the decision that I'm making now and all the way down the line, like, ooh, that means now that it's like doing that for him was like when I did the same thing for my brother and allowed him to go to residential. It was the finality of my mom's death. It was the finality. I had not really come to terms with her passing and things like that. And so having him in the house was hard enough because I did not have my mom in the house with him. And so him leaving every day and coming home did not bother me. It was not until I dropped him off at his apartment and all that kind of stuff that the reality hit that my mom was no longer here anymore and she wasn't coming back. And it hurt me to my core because I felt like I should have just not done that and just tried to make it work and take care of him and all of that. But like I said, it was way too much. My body let me know that. My mind let me know that. And I had to do something. Because as big as my family was, and I said this on a previous show, nobody came forward to help me take care of him or allow him to stay with them, because they knew I already had my hands full. You would think that other people, the light bulb would go off in other people's minds and they would say, man, that is too much for her to be doing. Why is she doing that? While they said it, they did not do anything about it. There was no corresponding action. All it was, well, you shouldn't have done that. You should have just, let them be awarded the state. Wow, that's easy for you to say because you don't face this situation. And to me, that's cold and callous. How can you do such a thing? I just can't fathom that. I can see if I was debilitated and there were no other choices. And the only reason why there's no other choices is because the choices won't allow themselves to be chosen. My God. They don't want to. Let's just bottom line this. They don't want to, and it's okay. However, now I have to deal with my feelings and emotions, right? I have to make sure that I am not walking in bitterness and anger and hatred and things like that. Because here's the thing about families, y'all. We have cliques and cults in our own families. Yeah, I said it. Don't inbox me. Don't come for me. Don't do it. Because I got time. Listen, we pick and choose who we want to support, who we want to be down for, where our loyalties lie with certain family members. And it's only because we use them to our benefit. We don't embrace everybody or get to know everybody like we should. Come on, think about it. We don't. We know we have certain family members, but then there are certain family members we know. Did y'all catch that? I can't say that again. Think about it. We got the ones that I don't care when they call or what time they call. We can have a dollar in our pocket. We're going. We going wherever they going. We doing whatever they doing. And there's other family members. We're like, thank you for the invite, but maybe another time. You know freaking well you ain't never going. Nah. You ain't going to a nan event of that they're having. None. And you know you're not. You're not even going to call them back. You're not going to answer their text and all that. Girl, oh, I didn't see that. Listen, y'all, can we stop this madness? I almost said the wrong word. Help me, Holy Ghost. Can we stop? Why is it that we can't be honest and say that we're not interested in a thing, but thank you anyway or something, instead of just leading people on with possibility statements, leaving people hanging? When we know we hate being put in that same position, we don't want, we like, look, are you going or are you not? you doing this or not. We don't want to hear maybe, a possibility, a might. We already know what that means to a certain degree. I know that there are certain people that if I invite them to something, I already know they're going to give me an excuse. But if I don't invite them, then I get accused of not inviting them and not telling them nothing. Ain't that a mess? See, y'all got to stop playing with people. You got to stop playing with people. Because I don't have the time and the energy for it. Right? Life is too short. Life is lifing, but God is still guiding. And I don't have time for that. Either you're going to be in my life or you're not. I can't do the tennis match thing because I'm not going to have my emotions toyed with. As a Christian, we are not doormats. Let me put that out there. We are not doormats. We are not supposed to take whatever people throw at us and all this kind of stuff. Even Jesus set boundaries. Read the word. He set boundaries. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That tells me this. I do not have to accept your tennis match offer of a relationship, bloodline or otherwise. Yeah. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this nitpicking and this pecking order between families. Either you love me or you don't. Either you like me or you don't. You can't listen. Yes, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Anything else is double-mindedness. I don't have to spend, you know, every waking moment in your face or around you or things like that. But come on, if we are family, can we act like it before somebody dies? Or before somebody gets hemmed up and land in the hospital bed about to die and all that? Why can't we? Listen, when... What is it going to take for us to put our differences aside? And a lot of differences we got, we don't even freaking know why we got them. We don't even know why we upset with certain family members. We upset with certain family members because what Pookie and them said about Boo Boo and them, and that's my girl and that's my homeboy. We mad by default. They didn't even do nothing to you, said nothing to you, included you in their mess or drama. You're just defending what you don't even know happened to your family member, which is probably wrong. It's two left shoes on two right feet. And now we all beefing. We don't even know what we're fighting for. Then when the one person or the two people who are the Christians in the family trying to get everybody together, then we're accused of trying to force God on people. When we're literally trying to bring peace, I'm not forcing God on anybody. If God tells me to tell you something, I'm responsible for telling you. Now, what you do with it is your business. Take it or leave it. But I am not trying to force God, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit on you. God is not trying to force himself or his word or the Holy Spirit on you. So that's that. And let me say this, y'all, for those of us who are in ministry and things like that, don't allow people to put you on platforms that make you dumb down your faith. Oh, my God. I just said a mouthful there. Don't let people put you on platforms to try to tell you, well, this is a neutral platform. Listen, Jesus help me. What does that mean? If the other communities, and I'll say it like that, can promote their agendas and do whatever they want to under the Son of God, the S-O-N of God and the S-U-N of God. Why can't we go on platforms and say, yes, I am an overcomer because Jesus is Lord? Listen, you can't tell me not to talk about my faith because I ain't coming. You can't tell me to not give credence and honor to whom honor is due. I am only here by the grace of God. It is of no goodness of Monique's own. And so if you want my anointing, but you don't want the owner of the anointing, you can't do that and you're not getting it. And that should be your stance. I don't care what they're offering you. Don't be like Judas. Don't betray your faith for nothing, because it's nothing. It ain't, listen, y'all. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It ain't nothing. I know we want to be known and we want our name in lights and all this other kind of stuff. Guess what? Your name is going to be on something. It's going to be on your birth certificate, your death certificate, your headstone, and at somebody's church or something like that for your funeral service. think about it. You're going to be known regardless, whether you in ministry, whether you created a book, a business, a product, you're going to be known for something. Because if it's not the world, you know, if it's not the world gossiping about you and telling everybody all your business and all your wrongdoings and maybe a fraction of the positive things you're doing, your family sure going to tell it. So you're popular. You're popular whether you know it or not. There are people right now sitting around talking about you and texting and gossiping and all of that, and ain't had not a conversation with you about what's going on in your life to see if you're even okay or if you got a toe ache or a headache. They're just, girl, did you hear, child, did you see? No, I don't. And then you got the ones who lying. I don't want to know nothing, but you ain't got up from the table. You ain't hung up the phone. You ain't tell them to stop texting you with the mess. You just as guilty. Ooh, shots fired. I chose violence. I don't care. We got to stop, y'all. Listen. This is why I do what I do. Because I'm trying to help somebody else. We should not be this way among our own kind. I'm not even talking about out in the world. It is a shame that majority of my support and my help does not come from bloodline. And I have a big bloodline on both sides. I have the faithful few. You know how church members say the faithful few. That means the faithful people that come to church every Sunday, who's tithe, and no matter when you ask them to give and help or serve, they're there. I have the faithful few on my father's side of the family. Nobody on my mother's side. Yeah, I had to take a breath for that. And it's been like that. Jeremiah will be 23 in October. This is what a lot of us have to contend with our loved ones who have special needs. And then to have to fight and deal with the same kind of madness in the community when you're trying to get services and resources. Because guess what, y'all? These community services and resources throw us right back to the family. They're like, we don't have any money. Where is your family? Obviously, they don't want to do what I asked them. That's why I'm here. Or you're just assuming I'm just here because the money is free and my child qualifies for it. And I don't want my family to help me and all that. For some people, they don't, because we have to deal with so much behind the scenes when we do ask for help. And y'all know it. Y'all know it. And I'm not saying that, you know, that you should not do certain things out of respect for your family members. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to give you an example. If I go somewhere and if I have the money, I pay, you know, the caregiver gets paid and things like that. But the other family members who help with Jeremiah, if I have money to pay them, I give it to them. Now, you're not going to shark me or nothing to try to tell me I got to give you hundreds when, A, you know, I ain't got it. And two, you're not going to use my son as an opportunity. I don't have a problem showing my appreciation and things like that. But don't say things like, well, if you're going such and so or whatever, I know I'm going to get at least $200 if I watch Jeremiah, because that's a lot of work. How do you think that makes me feel when you know I don't have that? And the things that I'm going to do is not because I'm at the clubbing and all that kind of stuff. I'm not getting on a plane to go on a girls trip. I am going to do ministry, or I am going to, you know, take somebody some books or things like that, you know, because I am an entrepreneur. I'm still new at it. So I'm, you know, God is building. He has opened doors and things like that. But how do you think that makes me feel to know in the back of my mind that if I'm going to do something for the betterment of myself and your family member, that you're trying to take what little bit I have? So, of course, in my mind's eye, what am I going out there for, Lord? If they're going to, you know, going to act like this, what am I going out there for? Because I'm still not getting anywhere, because the little bit of money that I would have made, everybody has their hand out. And let me go here. If your family member who is the strong one, and I'm talking about myself, has been supportive of you and gone to the ends of the earth for you and with you, you shouldn't even fix your mouth to say no stuff like that. You should be saying, well, how can I help? Now, if you need gas money or something like that, I get that. I get that. But if I tell you I got invited to an international conference to be, you know, to be the guest speaker or whatever, you know, and I'll be gone for 2 or 3 days, don't ask me for $500 because you're not getting it. You're not getting that. And so these are the things, y'all. These are the things that have prompted my decision-making process as far as Jeremiah, because I am at a point where things are opening and I got to be ready to go. I don't have time to keep, you know, to keep nudging. And if I already announced to you that something is happening in my life that I need to travel for, it shouldn't even, you already know why I said it. It shouldn't be no issue or no problem. And then if I bring other people in and stuff like that, then your face is all scrunched up talking about, well, why did you do that? Are you serious? Because you made me feel like I'm at, you know, every time I ask, you make me feel like I'm asking for too much. You make me feel like no matter what I do, it's not enough. It's not good enough. And that alone contributes more to caregiver burnout than the rest of the stuff, than the cares of the person that you're caring for. It is the outer circumstances that are going on around me. A lot of the times I could just sit and not do nothing. But I take all of that and use it as fuel to be a blessing and pour into somebody else. Is it easy? No. I want to lay in my corner with a blanket and just cry. I'm just like, Lord, what else? What else do I need to do? I guess because I'm not making thousands and hundred thousands yet, this is what I'm going to get. But then if I was making the money or whatever, of course, everybody would be like, oh, yeah, sure. Of course, because there's something from me you want. What happened to us caring, y'all, and having compassion, especially when you know the situation? I'm not saying to do everything, to drop it ahead or whatever, because I don't do that anyway. My time is just as valuable as somebody else's. And I have had to apologize to people because I have missed things that I scheduled. And I had gotten so distracted, and it happened this week. I had to apologize to my sis. I'm like, I love you. I am so sorry. I went grocery shopping and my day took a turn or whatever. And when I looked at the clock, it was past the time that I was supposed to have a conversation with her. And what if I never got a chance to conversate with her again? This is why we got to be diligent and vigilant with these thoughts, y'all, and the way we deal with people and setting boundaries, because we could very well miss precious moments that would have been precious memories. Because we hung up on foolishness. And so this whole thing with going on the trip, you know, to get the award, it's exciting and stuff like that. But it's bittersweet, of course, because none of my family is going to be there. And the ones that I want to be there are no longer here with me anyway. So I am happy. I am sad and I'm disappointed all at once. It did not go the way I planned. I was supposed to have a travel companion with me and they were not able to go. And so, you know, I tried to snatch up another sister of mine to go with me or whatever, because I still have a plus one ticket. But she wasn't able to go. And I knew it was last minute and it was a shot in the dark, but I took it anyway. Maybe this time God wants me to be alone, to rest and just relax and all that sort of thing. I realize that it's not meant for me to take everybody with me everywhere I go. But geez, it's like, you know, when I'm doing something that is so exciting and I'm so happy and jovial, It's always something, y'all, or somebody that tries to break my spirit and break me down. I don't understand it. I am not trying to destroy nobody's life. I am not trying to steal nobody's ideas and plans. I am not trying to infringe upon nobody's nothing. I already feel like a burden. Can I say, and I'm going to say that. I already do. I don't need you to make me feel worse. I already feel like that because I know that I cannot take care of my son like I used to on my own. I already feel my own feelings and emotions. I don't need help. I don't need help in that area. It's draining. I'm supposed to be happy. I am supposed to be happy that I'm going to get an award and stuff like that. And I'm going to be sitting there with God knows how many people in this room, and none of them are there cheering for me other than the people who are already there, because we are cheering and celebrating everybody else. But I don't know anybody. I'm not going to know anybody else in the room, as far as I know. I will be meeting everybody for the first time, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But it's triggering me because it took me back to when I graduated from college and got my associate's degree. Over 50,000 people in the stands at Liberty University, and not one of my family members were there in the stands. They had drove down and decided that they were going to do their own thing and stuff because it was too many people at the stadium. They couldn't find adequate parking because they left too late. Like I told them, if they wasn't going to leave at 5 or 6 in the morning, it wasn't going to work. And they found that out. They came down, FaceTimed me and called me and said, hey, congratulations, I love you. Went, got something to eat and all of that, and left me, y'all, and went back home. Didn't even wait for me to come out to take pictures or none of that. None of that. And so here I am again, getting a beautiful award that I am most proud of. I am most proud of. My son couldn't get off work because the date that it's on, they have quite a few coworkers who have taken off. So I understood that. He went with me to the first awards banquet that I had received from last year. Or should I say earlier this year? I think it was early. Listen, y'all, these days are going by so fast. I can't remember. And yeah, last year was 2022. So, you know, he felt bad. And I told him, no, it's a quick trip and I'm not going to be that far. But yes, you know, of course, he's a son, so he's still concerned about his mom. But I don't need that, y'all. And I don't know how to say that, you know, to people in a way that won't sound like I'm being mean and nasty. So I just, you know, I set boundaries, because when I say things, no matter how I say them or when I say them, people are already angry and bitter at other things. And so they're easily offended. And because I'm already, you know, having these feelings and emotions, it's not going to help. And so I have to release that to God. I have to release that to God. I literally don't know how to celebrate myself, y'all. I know that celebrating myself is not arrogance or anything like that, but I literally don't know how to do that. I'm supposed, like I said, I'm supposed to be happy and stuff like that. And I am, to a degree. I am proud of the accomplishments that I've made. I'm so proud of myself, y'all, because there were so many times I wanted to give up, and I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. I just didn't. And I'm still here. And God is still using me to do things, and I'm grateful for it. And so when all of these good things happen, it's almost like I expect the shoe to drop, because it usually does. And you shouldn't have to live like that. Nobody should. It should just be what it is, and you should be able to go on and celebrate and be happy and go on to the next thing in your life. I'm almost, y'all, I can admit this. I'm sitting here like, whew, I'm sitting here telling God every second, Lord, just let me get out the door and get on the road and protect me as I go. Just let me get there and I'll be good. Just let me get there. and I'll feel all the joy and the love and the positivity, and I will hug and love on sisters. We're going to pray for each other probably and minister. I'm pretty sure I'm looking forward to all of that. That's what I'm looking forward to, because I need that in the space that I'm in. We as special needs parents are always in fight or flight mode because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how we're going to get treated. We don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next. We don't have adequate care or help. We wait years for waivers from companies and government services. We're always concerned about if we're going to have money to pay bills. Not to mention not getting no sleep, not really getting to have no me time, no real village or none of that. You know, they come and go like revolving doors because they figure out that you don't have what it is they're seeking after at the time they're gone. Except for the faithful few that I've had. They stick around for a minute when they think I'm about to, when they feel like I'm about to have a breakdown or something. And then they go back off into the sunset again. The one thing I could count on, y'all, is the faithfulness of God. He said in his word that he would never leave me nor forsake me. And baby, I am holding on to that with every fiber of my being, with all the strength I have in my pinky toe. Because I know that, listen, and I'm not saying this in a bad way or anything like that. I know that I'm loved and people appreciate me and they see me as the strong one. They see me as amazing and all those kinds of things. I appreciate every compliment. I appreciate all the love and the referrals and the recommendations and the word of mouth. I appreciate all of that. Thank you. Thank you. Because it matters. I am just trying to get to a place where I am not thinking in the back of my head that I'm just doing all this for nothing, or I'm wasting my time trying to be the peacemaker in the family. I am wasting my time trying to carry out what God has called me to do or whatever, because there are certain things that I know that are not settled yet. And so it makes me standoffish, and it's like, okay, God, you want me to do what? and yes, it presents a cloud of doubt sometimes, because it's like, God, why did you ask me to do that when I'm in this situation I'm in? You know, I don't have, and I know he's saying, I didn't ask you any of that. I asked you to be obedient, to trust and obey. As the song say, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Y'all, this is painful, because it's like my world is spinning, and in between this spinning is I'm in control. I have to orchestrate my life. I have to orchestrate Jeremiah's life. To a small degree, I have to orchestrate my brother's life. And somewhere in between there, I am trying to celebrate myself, find my ray of sunshine and happiness and all of those things, because I am not getting any younger. I want to experience the goodness and the greatness of God in the land of the living. I don't want to have to wait to get to heaven to get all that. The Bible says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I can have heaven right here. And I'm trying to embrace and experience that in God as much as I can. And I will admit to you that it is a struggle. As you can hear from all of that I just said to you, why it is a struggle. Every it seemed like at every turn where there was a celebratory moment for me, tragedy struck or something unpleasant happened. It wasn't just, okay, she did this, we were happy, we partied or celebrated, went to bed and went on to the next thing. Something stupid or ridiculous always happened. And so I have to surrender these thoughts to God, because my thoughts have power and so do my words. And so I have to say, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over these things that will come to trigger me and to try to sift me as wheat, because you have put me in this position. And so come what may, you have my best interest at heart. And even when I'm being celebrated, I still tell people, it's God. It's the God in me. You know, it is. It literally is. You know, the fruit of the Spirit comes from God. It don't come from Monique. I don't have the capacity to give it to you, especially not in this frame of mind. We have been talking about surrendering our hearts to Christ and regulate, allowing God to heal our hearts and our minds and to surrender these unhealthy and unproductive thoughts. And baby, I do them every second seemingly. Because there's always something that speaks to me and say that, okay, there's always something that says, okay, you need something here. There's not enough over there. This is not adequate enough. You're not doing it right. You should have done something different. Maybe you should have done, you know, more here, less there. Always. We are our own worst critics. So I don't need constructive criticism from anybody else. I'm already on there going, I should have said that the other way. Maybe I shouldn't have talked about that on my podcast. Wait a minute, Monique, this is your show. You can say whatever you want. Well, amen. Within reason and decency and the order, okay? All right. But so this is where I am, y'all. Life is happening. New things are happening. Some doors had to close. Some people have had to, you know, tuck tail and run or whatever because they just chose to and all that. And I'm like, okay, God, can you slow down a little bit? Because I'm trying to stay laser focused and stuff. And all of these changes and shifts and all that is happening quickly. Can I put my seatbelt on? I love what I do. I love being a writer, a testimony teller. I love being able to be transparent and tell you what this is like. I love having my radio show, and I thank God for Pastor Daniel, who is the visionary behind Hard Radio. I thank God for the opportunity. I love, absolutely love meeting everybody who has bought a book from me and hugged me and said thank you and all of that. All of those things keep my love tank full. Thank you. I cannot thank y'all enough. Seriously. Seriously. There's no ministry without y'all. There's no ministry. There's no ministry. And so, I am going to celebrate myself and I'm going to cry. I'm telling y'all that now. Every time I publish a new book, every time God ministers to me while I'm ministering to you all on this podcast and things like that, they call me the weeping prophet. I'm known in the streets as the weeping prophet. When I go on platforms to tell my testimony, I am crying. Why? Because not only because I'm grateful, but because God is still healing me in some areas. And in each, you know, in each and every turn, wherever I am, whatever platform I'm on, he peels back another layer. He brings, you know, somebody else into my life who could speak into my life and help get me to where I need to be. And I'm just a bucket of mush. I'm overly sensitive anyway. So if you're crying, I'm crying, and I don't have to be sad. As soon as I see somebody cry, my eyes automatically water. That's how God wired me. I'm going to cry if you crying. And I'm going to sit there and we're going to cry together and start together until we get it together. I can't say that again. I love it. I love the heart God gave me. I love it. God is showing me how to regulate, how to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Because the word says this in Proverbs, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My treasure have to be Christ-like, my treasures. I'm trying to store up for myself treasures in heaven where no thief or moth, where no thief can steal and no moth can corrupt. So to keep me from going to prison, I will cry. I have learned, okay? I will cry it out. I'm not going to, no longer is Monique going to pretend that I am okay when I'm not. If I'm not okay, I'm going to tell you I'm not okay. I'm going to say, okay, sister, check in. Can you come have a cup of coffee with me? Can you come have can we go to Panera Bread and just sit in the little, you know, amongst people? I need space. I need an outlet. I send out the bat signal now. Because for over 20 plus years, I didn't do that. Now that I know that, and people have embraced me and said, hey, I am here for you. And they have shown and proven that in more than one way. Now I don't have no problem. I'm calling or texting. And if I call and people are at work, my people at work, the tribe that God is starting to give me, they'll say, Mo, you good? Because I'm at work. Is this an emergency? Okay, I'll call you when I get off work and all that. This is what I needed. This is what I prayed for. Just for people to care enough, as the Hallmark commercial, to send their very best, to care enough to make sure that I eat and that I'm getting proper rest. To ask me, am I okay? And how can I pray for you today instead of me doing it all the time and chasing everybody? Hey, do you have any prayer requests? You good this week and all that? Finally, somebody else is pouring into me and it feels good and it's scary, y'all. You're not supposed to be afraid of good things. You're supposed to embrace them and be appreciative and bless God for them. You're not supposed to be terrified for somebody to love you. You're not supposed to be terrified. You're not supposed to be terrified to be blessed of God. You're not. You're not supposed to be scared to receive compliments. And be around other people because you are just as powerful as they are. You're not supposed to be standoffish and hiding in the background. Ooh, Jesus. Ah, shit, tore out my soul. You're not supposed to be in corners like you are Igor in the basement somewhere. No. The Lord has come that we may have life. Jesus Christ, help me. And that we may have it more abundantly. He wants you, he puts you on display for the world to see. You are not God's secret. And what I mean by that is you are not hidden from somebody in shame. That's what a secret is. Not because you are a good thing and you have yet to be revealed. And for some of you, that's exactly what God is doing in your life. But you're not the opposite of that. You're not some dirty little secret. And stop allowing yourself to be that and allow people to treat you as that. Come out from among them and be ye separate, because you are a royal priesthood. You are God's peculiar people. You're supposed to embrace God's love with open arms. Y'all listen, I said this on Tuesday Night Talks because I do Facebook Lives on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Prayer and convo with Dr. Danita Edwards on her page. We are not, stop saying that you don't want love and you don't want to be loved and you don't want to be in a relationship. You know why? Because those are all the things that God is. And so if you don't want that, you don't want God. God is love. God is a God of relationship. God is a God of compassion and all that. You don't want nobody else to do that stuff for you. Then you short. Who do you think God works through? He works through us. So you need to sit down somewhere and get healed like I am. Can we heal together, y'all? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can we heal together? Can we give God our whole hearts? Surrender means to give up, to resign, to totally give up or resign. Can we do that? Can we surrender to God? Can we wave our white flags and go, okay, God, enough is enough. I've heard enough. I've cried enough. I've doubted enough. I've hid myself enough. I have shut down enough. I have said no to all the great things you have offered me enough. I am ready to live. And that's where I am today, y'all. No more. We can't afford to keep going in these circles. No more. No more shame and no more sorrow. We going to celebrate. We are going to celebrate. Celebrate the moments of your life, because once it's over, it's over. And then your family members are left to celebrate the memories of your life. So while you're in the land of the living, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Celebrate you and your life. It's not arrogance. Be proud of what God has allowed you to accomplish in Him, because in Him we live and move and have our very being. All right? All right. I done boohoo and cry like a baby. I didn't come on here to do all that, but nevertheless, not my will, God, but your will be done. So thank you guys for tuning in into another episode of Having a Moment with Moni, streaming every Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Hod Radio Network from Benin, Nigeria. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise for this moment. For you alone are worthy to be praised. You are wonderful, God. Thank you for healing, inner healing, and deliverance, God. Thank you for soothing and for comforting us, oh God, when we are in situations that we may not be used to and would make us uncomfortable, God, but that's what growth is, oh God. We thank you that you're allowing us to grow in you and to grow in faith and to grow in the spirit, Lord God, as we spend more time drawing closer to you. You said in your word, if we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. And so we thank you, Lord, for this broadcast that goes across airwaves and countries and continents, oh God, across the four corners of the earth. Father, I pray that someone under the sound of my voice give their life to you, Father. If they are not saved, Father, that they will repent of their sins, ask you to come into their heart and make you their Lord and Savior of their lives, oh God, and that you will open your arms and welcome them in to your fold. And for those who are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Father, all they have to do is ask. You said in your word, all we had to do was ask, that you would do that for us, because the Holy Spirit is a gift. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for traveling mercies as we go down dangerous highways and byways, Father. Bless the hotel we're going to stay in. Bless the food that we're going to eat wherever we are, Father, at the banquet, at the hotel, at the outing with the ladies, Father. Let everyone make it safely with no hurt, harm, or danger, Lord God. Let all be well, Father. Let this weekend run smooth as a well-oiled machine, Father, as we come to celebrate your daughters in Zion, Lord God, in their respective places. I pray, Father, for Misha Caldwell, Father, that you continue to give her the resources she needs to continue this vision of Black Girls Rock that you have given her for the years to come. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise, Father. I pray for everyone who is under the sound of my voice, that you heal bodies for those who are sick, Father, that you provide resources and finances for those who are seeking you for finances, for those who are seeking trainings and things like that. Lead and guide them to the right school, the right institution, the right business, Father. Bring back to their remembrance the ideas, the witty inventions and things like that you would have them to do, Father. Forgive them, forgive us, Father, for being lackadaisical and lazy and procrastinating. Give us one more chance to get it right, Father, because we love you, because you give us grace and mercy and they are new every morning. And so give us one more chance, Father, to make you proud. We love you so much, God. Without you, we are absolutely nothing. We can do nothing and we will be nothing without you. But in you, we live and move and have our very being. We are so powerful in you, God. We just don't realize it sometimes, Father. Remind us who we are in you. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. Thank you, Lord God, for all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we thank you for Pastor Daniel and the Hod Radio Network and Largest Territory. Send donations in, Father, that he will be able to continue this network in the way that you see fit, and send the equipment and all of the things he is seeking you for in this moment, God. I thank you and I bless you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So you guys, I will see you next week. I love you. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Love on somebody. Minister to somebody. Make sure somebody got something to eat. Give somebody a hug, a bottle of water. Give somebody a cup of coffee, some gas. Show love. It is by our love that all men know that we are Christ's disciples. I love you and I'm gone.